ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमिगॉड्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 15।
गर्भे प्रणीते देवक्या रोहिणीं योग निद्रया अहो विश्रंसितो गर्भ इति पौरा विचुक्रुषुः।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Translation. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Purport. All the inhabitants of the palace includes Kamsa. When everyone lamented, Kamsa joined in compassion, thinking that perhaps because of drugs or some other external means, Devaki had undergone this abortion. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini in the 7th month of Rohini's pregnancy is described as follows in the Harivamsa. At midnight, while Rohini was deeply sleeping, she experienced, as if in a dream, that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, when she awoke, she saw that this had indeed happened, and she was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, "O auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Sankarsana." The word Yoganidra is significant. When one is spiritually reconnected through self-realization, one regards this material life as having like a dream. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, यानि सा सर्वभूतानां तस्यां जाग्रति संयमी यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि सानि सा पश्यतो मुनेः। What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for introspective sages. The stage of self-realization is called Yoganidra. All material activities appear to be a dream when one is spiritually awakened. Thus, Yoga Nidra may be explained to be Yogamaya. Little translation again. So, reading from this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, all of us know this pastime, but every time we read, we can see how dramatic things are happening one after other. How, you know, before Krishna appeared, how Kamsa attacked Devaki, then they were imprisoned and one after other child were killed in a very, very dramatic way. Kamsa was not willing to kill, but then Narada Muni comes and instigates. And there are many reasons behind why Narada Muni does that. We have heard all those past times. And again here we see the seventh child suddenly disappears, appears to be a miscarriage. So all these dramatic things are happening and Kamsa is wondering what is happening, you know. So it is explained, Prabhupada says, all the inhabitants of palace includes Kamsa. I mean, Kamsa also felt bad when Devaki had this kind of miscarriage. So this is because of basically association. Because everybody was feeling bad, so Kamsa was amongst them, he also felt bad. So as we know, like we are always hearing this, that everyone in this world, in this age and time, has both good as well as bad side. We have a good side, we have a bad side. And when we expose ourselves to the bad surroundings and bad kind of association, our bad elements gets its food and it gets stronger and stronger. And then one develops desire to do bad things, to do sinful activities. But when we expose constantly to sadhus, to great personalities, read about them, hear about them, then our good side gets strength. So what is the advantage of association is that by associating we get positive desires, nice desires to develop and grow. When we associate with another devotee or anybody outside world also, these people also have good and bad sides. Devotees also, those who are practicing, trying to become perfect. So when we associate, if we see the bad things in them, the negative side, then actually we are associating with the negative sides. And because if you see everybody the negative, 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 then our negativity will increase in us because of seeing the negative side again and again and again. But instead, if we see only the positives, what Prabhupada always explains, that we should see the good things in others. If you see the good things in others constantly, again and again and again, that means we are associating the good side. So our good side will develop further and further. So Kamsa, although at that age and time, although had so much of ill feelings, so much selfishness to protect himself, to enjoy himself, but still because he was in association with some people who are lamenting, that even in Kamsa, it increased his good side, that factor, and he also felt sad. But then he started like kind of speculating that why Devaki had this miscarriage and must have been taken some kind of drugs or some kind of undergone kind of abortion to avoid the child. He was thinking like that because of that bad side is overlapping, you know. So this is one aspect we can, Prabhupada is actually bringing out this point in the purport very nicely. But then it is explained in other part of the scriptures like Harivamsa, that what exactly happened. Rohini Devi, she was sleeping in Gokul, Brajadham, and she had a dream. She was also carrying a child, same time, 7th month. She had a dream that she had a miscarriage, is explained here. And when she woke up, she saw indeed she had a miscarriage. She felt in great, she was in great anxiety. At that time, Yogamaya comes and tells her, "Don't worry, O auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from womb of Devaki, and therefore, your child will be known as Sankarshan." Like that, she is consoling Yogamaya. And then Prabhupada describes this word Yoga Maya and Yoga Nidra. Normally we always hear that how this world is a dream. So we say, no, we see this world, everything is real, we can feel, we can touch, we can experience. How can it be? So when you speak of dream, I have to speak of sleep. Only we dream in a sleeping state. So what is that sleep? Prabhupada says that sleep is actually Yoga Nidra. When you went to the state of Yoga Nidra, that time actually understand that it was a dream. As long as we are in dream, we cannot understand it is a dream. When you are sleeping and we are in dreaming state, no matter what happens, during that phase of dream, we never understand that it is a dream. Similarly, we may try too hard to understand why this is a dream, why this is a dream. We can see and feel, experience, why it is a dream. Prabhupada explains this point I was looking for actually, it is explained here. In the state of Yoga Nidra, you understand that it is a dream. So unless we awaken to the state of Yoga Nidra, Yoga means to get connected with Krishna, Nidra means kind of full connection, Samadhi, liberation. At that state one understands, yes, it is a dream, like that is explained here. Prabhupada said the word yoga nidra is significant. When one is spiritually reconnected through self-realization, at that point one regards this material life as having been like a dream. So I was thinking to try to understand this concept a little bit more clearly and took some points from Vedavyas, and I'll try to share with all of you. So there is a nice verse in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It describes the state of living entity, the jiva, as we are here. It says that there are two worlds. One is this world, the other is spiritual world. It says, tasyava etasya purushasya dvay eva sthane bhavata. So it says that eta purushas, that means this jiva, all of us, eta purushasya dvay eva sthane bhavata. They reside in two places, dvay sthana, two places. Idam cha paralokam sthanam cha. This world, material world, and paraloka, spiritual world. Cha sandhyam tritiyam, but there is a third place also. It's called sandhyam tritiyam sopna sthanam. Sandhyam means it is like in between, middle place. And the tritiyam means third place. And it is described as sopna sthanam. It's a dream-like state. Then it says, tasmin sandhya sthane tishthan ete. All of us stay in this sandhya sthana, that is the in-between stage, marginal stage. And what happens by staying there? Uve sthane pasyanti idam cha paralokam sthanam cha. Staying at that third place, we can see both material world as well as the spiritual world. So in our life we can also experience that, yes, we can observe this world, and also by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we can actually start perceiving there is another world, which Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. Natat bhasayate shuryo nasasankana pavaka yad gatva ananivartate taddhama paramam mama. That there is another world which does not require sun or moon. And that eternal abode is my abode, Krishna says, my favorite abode. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is owning all these worlds, material as well as spiritual. Everything is his. But he especially claims that the spiritual world is his own, because that's his favorite. Just like in a house, we may have our own favorite room. You know, like in temple, we have our own particular sleeping place, you know. We cannot say room. Some senior devotees, they have, by Krishna's mercy. But we like all the place in the temple. We like Prasadam hall as well as, you know, all the places, temple hall, kirtan and everything. But then we have a place where you like to study, you like to meditate, you like to chant. Similarly, Krishna says, this spiritual world is my own abode. Tad dhama paramam mama. That is my best abode. Paramam mama. All abodes are mine, but this is my favorite abode. And hearing these things, understanding our situation as a living entity, as a spirit soul, we can actually perceive both ways. We can see this world as well as the spiritual world. And we are in between. And the Upanishad continues, says, jiva, the enjoyer, has possibility of two residences. The material world and the spiritual realm, both of which he may seek. However, jiva finds himself at the junction of these two places, a third realm, made of dream state. From this junction, he is able to observe both the material and the spiritual worlds. Just as a large fish swims from one bank of a river to another, similarly, the jiva, who is eligible to swim in the current of the causal ocean, separating the material and spiritual worlds, swims to both banks of the ocean, of this ocean. The dreamland and the material of the material existence, and the spiritual land of the eternal awakened consciousness. So on the one hand, the spiritual world is eternally awakened conscious state. So interestingly, Lord Krishna has designed this world in such a way that we have experiences through which we can understand that there is a spiritual world. Like we have also sleep, we have also dream, we have also kind of awakened state. So in the awakened state, we understand that was a dream. So it is explained that spiritual world is eternally awakened conscious state. And there we can actually understand this was a dream. But as long as we are in dream, we cannot understand. So jiva is like a large fish which is swimming in this causal ocean. It can go both directions. But as we know, this bhavasagar, this causal ocean is so fast. It is very difficult to see the shores. Normally we are attracted. We are on the shore of material world. The other shore is quite far away. And even if we try to see, we are unable to see with our limited vision and understanding. Therefore, we need help. So spiritual master actually helps us to give that vision and encourage us to swim across this ocean and see and perceive the spiritual world gradually. So basically there are two understanding of our own aspect as a jiva. One aspect is our swarupa, where we are conscious completely. The other aspect is described as dream or false material designation, upadhi. So either we are carrying a upadhi or we are in our swarupa, which is servant. So two state we have. One state we are carrying our eternal nature as a servant, Krishna's servant. The other is we are carrying a upadhi where we live in a dreamlike state. So when we are in a sleeping state, we dream something, we recognize ourselves with certain situations, we identify ourselves with certain situations, certain kind of thing that happens, and we feel one with that dream, kind of oneness with that dream. Like I remember when I was a small child, I'm small, like Radheshyam was saying the other day, small height, but still I was very small, you know, fists. And the night I was dreaming, those days, if you have even 20 paisa, you can buy vada pav and all those things, you know, 20 paisa, enough. Vada pav and bhaji available. I'm speaking of 1970s, late 70s. So I was dreaming, a couple of times I dreamed like that. A lot of coins are showering from the sky. And I was going and catching. Interestingly, in that dream, these coins are not hitting me. Supposed to hit you. Coins are falling all over. I was trying to collect here and there. So many coins I collected. And when I woke up in the morning, my fists were like this, closed. And when I opened my fist, expecting that some coins are there, but actually nothing was there, some sweat were there. Some sweat was left. So then I understood, yeah, it was a good dream, but it was a dream nevertheless. So when we dream, or even while awakened state also, we watch movies. While watching movies, we identify ourselves so much with the situation, with the scene, with the characters of the movie. Then start crying, we start laugh, we forget about ourselves. And of course, movie happens in a dark place, you know, dark room. So, in a dream, we entirely forget about our real, original identity. As a man, woman, whatever, as a student. Sometimes we have nightmares. Like His Holiness Radha Swami, he explains that when he was sleeping on the bank of Yamuna, he had a dream that he was in Chicago, driving in a car on a highway. He thought it was a nightmare because he didn't want to go back to that kind of situation again. So different impressions come and we see dreams and we identify strongly with that situation. But when we wake up, we think, we understand that it was a dream. So Hayagriva Prabhu, actually he was Hayagriva Swami Maharaj, actually, His Holiness. He took sannyas before he left, I heard. He explains very nicely in one of his articles. He says, we have senses to perceive, and we have mind to think, feel, and will. We have intelligence to discriminate, and we have ego to make sense of all these things. You know, ego puts all these things in a place, and that gives identification. Without ego, just imagine, senses, mind and intelligence is no use. It is useless actually without ego. So this ego upadhi, which is actually putting everything together, brings us to this dreamlike state, because it makes us identify with that situation. The way we identify ourselves in a dream, similarly, the upadhi in this world, the ego, false ego, makes everything, the senses, mind, intelligence, the body, everything, puts together in such a way that we identify with certain upadhi. And this is so important in this world, because this ego helps us to maintain our individuality. And this gives a sense of pride. So therefore, if we want to really wake up from this dreamlike state, then we must overcome this upadhi or pride that is arising out of false ego. That is the solution basically. Therefore, the Shastras always explain that knowledge begins with humility. Like Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas, they explain, even Jesus Christ, he explains how this humility is actually number one principle which helps us to awaken. Therefore, we know this famous verse in Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanena Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. That one has to be humble. But how one can be humble? Amanena Manadena. Without that, we cannot be humble. It's, we may speak about humility for lifelong. To become humble, we have to become prideless. Amanena Manadena. How to become prideless? By practicing Amanena Manadena. So that is a very nice, I just came across, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes this, he explains all these concepts through kind of dialogues, through kind of two persons discussing, and when you read, understand. Whenever a new concept has to be introduced, this is a technique that is used always. I have heard, like when Galileo spoke about gravity, about so many new concepts, about how the sun is the center, like that. People will not accept it at all. They would say, Earth is a globe. Earth is a spherical. People will not accept the previous concepts. It's very difficult to penetrate their conditionings. It's very difficult in this world to penetrate conditionings. And if you would publicly speak about these things, he'll be imprisoned. He'll be punished. So therefore, they also used to do this kind of trick, where they would bring kind of a novel where two persons are talking to each other, and through that discourse they would explain what they want to explain. I've seen this similarly in Jaiva Dharma, places like that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used the same technique. And here the two persons are discussing about this particular point. He says, one person says, the one who explains, he says, one should not expect any honor for oneself, but must be ready to offer respect to everyone. So Amanena Manadana means, this is what it explains. This is where we can actually overcome our false pride, wrong designations, upadhis, which keeps us in a dreamlike state. It says, one should not expect any honor for oneself, but must be ready to offer respect to everyone, each according to his spiritual elevation. So everyone should be respected according to their spiritual elevation. A Vaishnava must be accorded the respect and honor due to a Vaishnava. One who is not a Vaishnava must be shown proper respect, becoming for a human being. So even if one is not a Vaishnava, still he should be shown respect. If a devotee fails to develop this attitude of offering appropriate respect to all, then eligibility to chant Harinam purely and constantly is not born. So this is explained. If we do not develop this attitude of respecting each and every living entity according to their status, then we will never be able to chant Hare Krishna. We will be able to chant Hare Krishna, but chanting Hare Krishna constantly and purely, that is not possible. Like we are also chanting Hare Krishna, although we don't have respect for all. You know, we always judge, we see the bad side and we think so many things which may be wrong or right, whatever it is. And in this way, because of this contempt, because of this dishonor and disrespect, we may be chanting 16 rounds, but we are not able to chant pure Harinam, and we are not inspired to chant Harinam constantly. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one must show respect to all living entities. Then the other person asks, then how does one give up the aspiration for respect? Okay, you are saying you respect all, okay, I'll do it. I'll respect all. But how do I myself give up aspiration to be respected? That is a bigger challenge. You know, to be humble, okay. But to reject when respect comes internally and completely without taking any claim, that's the biggest challenge. And the other person is a Sri Haridas Babaji. He answers. He says, one must relinquish the false pride and not proudly think. This is where it comes. How can we give up when somebody respects us? We can give up, we can relinquish the respect that is offered to us by giving up false pride. If we give up false pride, then we will not accept any respect. If you think that I am Brahmana or I am a king, I am a Vaishnava, I am Brahmachari, this, like, if you think like that, this false upadhis, if we accept in our life, then because of those upadhis, we think they like we are this, therefore we think we deserve this respect. But if we give up this false pride, that I am this, I am that, I have done this, I have done that, I have achieved this, I have achieved that, then if we accept those things into our personalities, then we automatically try to get respect. We think that we deserve respect. Therefore, he says, one must relinquish false pride and not proudly think, I am a Brahmana, I am accomplished, I am well versed in Shastras, I am a Vaishnava, I am a renounced person, etc. One must never even dream of receiving any respect because of such qualities. We should not even dream. This is a nice point. People may well offer respect, but one should simply acknowledge that one is unworthy, insignificant, indigent, and humbler than blade of grass. So this thing we should understand, that we are actually unworthy. Whatever worthiness we have is because of the knowledge given by others, or because of body, beauty, it is not our own, given by parents, some great family heritage. Wealth is given to us. Everything is given to us. Everything, intelligence, is given to us. We cannot claim our own. Only this false pride is something which makes us think that it is ours, it is ours, it is ours. Srila Prabhupada was explaining, we are hearing in the dressing, Prabhupada was saying, even great, great personalities like Newton also, they also say that we don't have anything. So what do I know? How much I know? I know very little insignificant thing. I just picked up some pebbles from the beach of an ocean. Some pebbles are little pretty, some are little rough. So whatever knowledge I have got is because something that I got on the bank of an ocean. So, but the ocean is vast, the knowledge is there, full of wealth, full of jewels and rubies, pearls. But I have very little. So the great personalities who actually grow in knowledge, they understand that I don't know anything. The moment we say we know, that means we do not know. That means we stop, we close our gates to understand more. The moment I say I know, that means what is further to be known, I closed all those doors. So therefore, humility actually helps us to grow our knowledge and understanding. So here, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining through these verses that how we can actually awaken by giving up false pride. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya tells Ramananda Rai that the greatest fame to be heard in this world is the fame of being known as devotee of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Prabhu is telling Ramananda Rai, yeah, how can one be famous? He says one should be a Vaishnava. Then Mahaprabhu actually says that this is the greatest fame, to become devotee of the Lord. Somebody may say, we have no self-respect. We are like on the beggars. What we are then? So insignificant and everything. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies, no, we can be respected, we can feel a sense of respect being devotee of Lord. That's what something we can feel. That greatest fame to be heard, one has to have this fame. What is that greatest fame? Greatest fame to be heard in this world is the fame of being known as a devotee of Krishna. Then he says, being known as anything else is infamy. We may think it is famous, but he says it is infamy. This should be our standard for judging real fame in this world. So therefore, this prestige, fame, like when I was young, I was thinking, if I got enough money, who cares for prestige and fame? You know, just enjoy. What is the use of fame? And like when you are a small child, you think, if you get good food, it is enough. What is the need of money? So when you grow, we think, if you have money, what is the need of fame? But when people get fame, it is so intoxicating that sometimes they don't even care for money. There are so many examples. And people may lose money and come to the street, but they will cling to their fame. Sometimes it happens like that. So fame is so intoxicating. People have enough money, but still they are very strongly attached because of fame. They don't retire in making more money or whatever. So these are the things. But Mahaprabhu is clarifying, to overcome this upadhi stuff, the false prestige, one has to renounce all respect and understand one is insignificant and needs help. When you understand that we need help, at that point, the help from Krishna and Guru actually reaches us. So there are many things. One is that people speak about the pleasure of this world, even if it is a dream, we think, what is wrong about it? There is some pleasure, why miss it? Like when you are in a dream state also, there is some good dream and bad dream. But ultimately we get up. If it is a bad dream, we are thankful that we are awake now. Suppose some tiger is chasing or, you know, you see something like, you know, sometimes you think you are flying. Some people dream like that, they're flying in the sky. But the problem comes when you're about to land. There is trouble now. Then you actually get up. So when you think that it was a good dream, you feel like going back to it. Like I was thinking coins were raining. I feel like going back to the dream. If it is a bad dream, you think, oh, it's over, it's good. Sometimes snakes come in the dream, you know, things like that. Nightmares. But after we awaken, we come to awaken stage, then even if it is good or bad, we think, well, it's over. It's not important. It's not significant. But the problem is, we hanker to go back again and again. The Hayagriva Swami actually explains very nicely. If I have time, I would like to read this. Very nice points he writes. He says, the worldly knowledge by the standards of Gita is concerned with Maya, the illusion, or the play of God. Please listen a little attentively, then otherwise you will miss it, because I am not able to explain without reading. He says, all things that are perceived by the senses, sight, sound, touch, taste, smell, and by the mind are ephemeral, illusory. So whatever we're seeing, thing, feeling in this world, we think we're very nice, they're all temporary, ephemeral. So while the human being is in contact with them, they seem real enough. So what is happening? This everything is actually false, untrue. Because a conscious being comes in touch with them, therefore they seem to be real. That's how he's explaining. If you take out this conscious aspect, then the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Even if there is beautiful mountain, beautiful sky, nice greeneries, nice bird chirping sound, all these things are very nice only when there is someone conscious who is coming in touch with them. If that conscious aspect is not there, you take it out, then all those things doesn't make any sense. The sky may be there, mountain may be there, what is the use? Some conscious person is not coming in touch with them. So therefore they get value, this mountain, sky, everything get their value, get their goodness, or what do you feel bad, good about it, is when they come in touch with these things, otherwise they have no value. She's saying, while the human being is in contact with them, they seem real enough. But when they are past, they have no more reality than dreams. One can easily understand this by thinking of the past years in one's life. So if you think about your past life, like Prabhupada was saying in Jagannath Puri, when he was a small young man, he was there on the beach and he was feeling young, energetic, going around places. But he said, now I'm old in the same place, it seems those are my some kind of dream. So we are living our life. If you just look behind your own life, if you look past our own life, how the years passed by, as if you are going in a vehicle and everything is passing by, you know, years and months are passing by. And you look behind, it's just past, it's like a dream, it's over. But the moment spent with devotees, spent in hearing and reading scriptures, spent in chanting Hare Krishna, spent in yatras, you know, holy places, holy dham, those moments are never dream, because they are always eternally existing with us. They are the real facts. They will never leave us. They become an integral part of our eternal life. So therefore, spending life in Krishna consciousness is always a very utilization of good time, the effective use of time. Otherwise, everything, we may be enjoying, we may be suffering, everything is passing by, that's all. Just like a dream, it's coming and going, coming and going. So this is the nature of all things in this material world. They are here for one moment and gone the next. It is impossible to hold on to them for any length of time. Something is good, we cannot hold on to them forever. You have to lose it. It has to go away. So therefore, this continuing this temporary nature, one should not endure in these things. One should not endeavor for these things and try to live with it forever. That's a dream. So therefore he says, life itself is like a maya. And there is a quote from Shakespeare. He says about the pleasure of this world, a bliss in proof and proved a very awe. Bliss in proof, we think it is a bliss, but what is proved? Proved to be a very awe. Awe means displeasure. It's a very sad kind of experience. Before a joy proposed, behind a dream, all this world well knows, yet none knows well. Everybody knows it's a woe. Everybody knows it's a misery, dukhalayam. Everybody knows it, but still they don't know it. He's saying, all this world well knows, yet none knows well. To shun the heaven that leads man to this hell. The two worlds, spiritual, material. So like that he's explaining. And Hari Guru Prabhu also quotes a very nice poem from, what's his name? William Blake. The Everlasting Gospel, he says, this life's five windows of soul, the senses is described, five senses. This life's five windows of the soul distorts the heaven from pole to pole. So we are trying to see the spiritual world, but because of the senses and the attachment of sense objects, we are not able to see. It is all blurred, distorted. Distorts the heavens from pole to pole and leads you to believe a lie. When you see with, not through the eye. This is a very nice statement. When you see with our eyes, that is one thing. But when you see through our eyes, that means we are seeing. If you are seeing with eyes, where with eye and the sense object. She is saying very nice line. When you see with and not through the eye, then the entanglement starts. That was born in a night to perish in a night. When the soul slept in the beam of light. Although soul is always conscious, very nice, exact our philosophy. It's conscious, eternally conscious. The light, always we're in light, actually we're in always Krishna's energy, light, internal potency is there. But because we have accepted the night, we are born in night to perish at night. All the living in, as a spirit soul, are conscious always. The fact that we are always Satchidananda. But somehow or other we are misidentified because of this false ego. And the entanglement is there. And we are in a dreamlike state. And perish in that situation. So Srila Prabhupada was, I'll just take a few minutes. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to Allen Ginsberg, you know. And Prabhupada was explaining these spiritual activities are so nice, this chanting Hare Krishna, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It is always increasing joy and you want to do it more and more. Under proper guidance and association, we are encouraged to do things. Like recently we were in Jagannath Puri and we are at Gundicha. We are discussing how this cleaning of Gundicha, they are doing enthusiastically, happily. Although it's a cleansing process. Cleaning, you know, cleaning is something you are doing to quickly get over. So that cleanliness comes quickly. So while cleaning, you are in association with dirt. So therefore it is not a very nice thing. You know, you are cleaning the dust and cleaning everything. So it is not a very pleasurable thing because you are dealing with the dirt. But with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all devotees are cleansing Gundicha, and but it was very joyful. They're chanting Hare Krishna, Hari Hari, they're chanting, Krishna Krishna, they're chanting and doing things with Mahaprabhu in association. Although it's a cleansing process, it is joyful. So similarly, we're chanting Hare Krishna, cleansing our heart. You know, when you do it in right consciousness, right association, then this process is also joyful. So Prabhupada is explaining, it's such a nice thing. He says, that when we see that we are sleeping, we feel we are wasting time. Sleeping is a waste of time. Why should we sleep? You know, it's a waste of time. The 24 hours is, for devotees, 24 hours is falling short. And many of us, because we are in the right place, in this nice temple, in that association, devotees are engaging us so nicely. Sometimes we also feel, you know, although we are not so great soul like Prabhupada or Goswamis, we also feel that 24 hours come padra. You know? Brajavir Prabhu is smiling. It's like that. Because we are engaged in the right people. You know, so many festivals coming, we are always tired, doing this, doing that. So Prabhupada is saying, we are falling short of time, sleeping is a waste of time. Then he says, the Goswamis used to sleep for 1.5 hours only. And then he says, and sometimes they forget. They forget to sleep also. Then Allen Ginsberg actually quips a joke. They sleep for just 1 hour. Why? Just to dream? He says, just to dream? Prabhupada says, no, even if they dream, their dream is actually real, unlike ours. Because we are in contact with material world, we are in contact with our false ego, so the dream is that we see is because of the manipulation of this false ego. But they are completely humble, they are completely given up the entire false identification, which gives false respect. Because they have given it up completely, their dream has nothing to do with the dreams the way we dream. So when their dream comes, actually Krishna really appears. Like we see the past time Madhavendra Puri, how the Lord appears again and again. 3 times he appeared in his dream. And whatever he spoke, the Lord spoke exactly, it was happening like that. For us, if you see money, it is not there. But when Goswami sees a dream, it's actually the spiritual, they are in the internal potency of the Lord. So I'll conclude this last point that we are in Jagannath Puri. Somebody may say, these dreams, what is the dreams of Goswami you are speaking of? Recently, very recently, few years back, the king of Puri, who actually comes to give this chara pahara, this, you know, brooming before the Rath Yatra, is a nice devotee. You can understand from this pastime. Mahalakshmi came in his dream few years back, and she said that actually I am in such and such place in Alaranath. Alaranath is next to Puri, where Mahaprabhu used to visit. And then Shankaracharya and this king spoke to the Shankaracharya of Puri. Both of them went behind a well. He said, "This is where I am dug. Please take me out and put me in a temple," she said. And they actually dug that place next to a well, and from inside came out a beautiful deity of Mahalakshmi, huge deity. Now a temple is built for her, you know, Mahalakshmi. I think ISKCON Gaur Govind Maharaj helped in building that temple. The deity is still there. So we may say, okay, this happened so many years back, we don't know what this dream, what these past times. But latest, recently only, if you go there, you can see this deity, nicely worshipped there. Many, many devotees are very attached to that place. These pandas, they're worshipping Alarnath with a lot of faith conviction. And they're worshipping this Mahalakshmi also. One more temple just built up recently. So their dream is not like ours, because we are entangled in this world. We are dreaming in dream. It's like dream inside dream. It's very difficult to wake up unless we get the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. So how to get up? So somebody's taking sleeping and dreaming. Somebody's a nightmare, suffering. We can see, those who are awake, they can see that he's suffering. Sometimes, like one of my friend, he would dream he was flying kites. Very fond of flying kites. So in dream he would see that his kite is cut, or he has cut somebody else's kite. Cut means, oh, you know, they go like this and cut other's kite. So kisi aur ka kat jata hai, to suddenly he shouts in his dream, "Are kat gaya kar gaya." Kaat diya karke. And not only that, he gets up from the bed and shouts still loudly, kat gaya kar gaya. Somebody has to shake him. While he's standing, somebody has to shake him. It's a dream, don't worry, it's a dream. Come down. Sometimes we see somebody is dreaming and suffering because of nightmares, some tiger, something, snakes. So then, if we see that he is suffering, what should we do? Should we laugh at him? No, we'll wake him up. How we wake him up? By shouting, by calling his names. Similarly, it is explained that we are in this dreamlike state only by hearing holy names, when loudly holy name is sung and we hear it, the soul is actually starts waking up. Jeev jaga gora chanda bale. By chanting the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we can see we are just roaming here and there, going so many places, doing so many things. But when you hear the holy name, this Harinam Kirtan, is actually this the first time we thought that we are not this body. No, it just gives a certain different flavor in life. So this holy name will actually help people to wake up from their sleeping state. And this great movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, mercy that we are seeing, this is actually working. So all we have to do is simply chant Hare Krishna. And we'll achieve that yoga nidra state, from where we can actually perceive that this is actually a dream. And then life will be successful. Hare Krishna, sorry I took some extra. I didn't know that this dream will last so long. Just I thought it will be over by 9:50 or something like that. Thank you for your patience, tolerance. Srila Prabhupada ki.